Appreciate the prayer. Ask your continued interest in your prayers. As I was going back through our notes on the Psalms, I couldn't find anything on Psalm 4. And I just felt like we had covered it, but that's where I'm going to start in going back and picking up those that we skipped over when we were skipping around in the beginning as we looked at the Psalms. So Psalm 4. I pray the Lord to bless our study of this psalm tonight. I really enjoyed the time that I spent preparing these notes, and I just pray the Lord will take these loaves and fishes and feed us abundantly. Psalm 4, the title I gave it, Trust in the Lord and Rest in His Peace. Verse 1, to the chief musician on neganoth, that is, to be played on stringed instruments. It's a psalm of David. It's being directed to the chief musician. We anticipate a very deep lesson. So it begins by saying, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. As you read through this psalm, you'll find that it seems that this is his prayer, perhaps as he's been pondering and seeking the Lord's guidance, maybe even at night upon his bed. So when you read through the whole psalm, you get that impression that perhaps that's when he's making this prayer. Do you ever find yourself praying in the middle of the night? Maybe sometimes you wake up and can't go back to sleep. What better way is there than to talk to the Lord? Oh, isn't it wonderful you can talk to him anytime? You don't have to have an appointment. No time limit. He's there. So David says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. What a blessing beyond measure that we can go to the Lord in our times of distress. After all, he knows all, and he's able to do all that is according to his will. Now, isn't that the case? We can't acquaint him with anything. Oh, but what a relief it is when we pour out our heart to the Lord. It's good for you, isn't it? Talk about a stress reliever. The Lord gave us that a long time ago. Now, it's being neglected, isn't it? But may we not neglect it. All right. Now, man may or may not be able to help us, but God is able to do far beyond what we ask. Isn't that right? From what Paul said to the Philippians, he's able to do exceeding, abundantly above. That's way beyond the need, isn't it? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. All right? So he's able to do far beyond what we ask because he knows all of our need and not just the small part we think we know. You know, I didn't put this verse in there, but, you know, we know nothing as we ought, right? And we think we know what our need is, but we can rest assured the Lord knows all of it. We just know a part of it. And so the one who we're able to call upon, he knows it all. And he's able to help. Just imagine all of the stress and distress that we would have if we could not go to him for help. You know, I've heard this question by many, and I think about it myself from time to time. What would we do in our time of trouble if we couldn't go to the Lord? You know, you might you know, you might say, well, I'd just go crazy. Well, maybe that's what's happening to a lot of folks. You know, I don't mean to be flippant about it, but I mean, I'm serious. You know, we don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. We don't have to struggle with others like others. I'm not saying we're not going to have problems, but I'm just simply saying we don't have to go through them like other folks have to. All right? But by faith, we know we can go to Him, and we have assurance that He will help us for Jesus' sake. Now, that's when we can grasp that truth. God doesn't help us based upon some scale of whether we've done good or bad. God hears us because of His Son, who always did what was right. That's why He hears us. Not because we're so good, but because He's so good. All right? So that's why He will hear us. Now, granted, if we think about all that we are, then, yeah, we could come up with the idea that, well, there's no way He'd listen to me. But when you understand that it's for Jesus' sake, then you have a better idea of why the Lord will hear our prayers. While that was true in the Old Testament days, we today have the clearer teaching of why it is so through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. Isn't that what David's calling upon? O God of my righteousness. Our righteousness is of Him, isn't it? It's from Him. He has to give it to us. We don't have any of our own. Okay? He's the God of our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And by faith, David had assurance of that then. All right? So when his soul was in trouble, he was moved to call upon the God of his righteousness. The Spirit within him knew perfectly from whence his help had to come. You know, it takes us a while to learn, doesn't it? But when he gives us his Spirit, that Spirit knows perfectly. All right? So the Spirit within him knew perfectly from whence his help had to come. Further, by experience, he, that is David, he knew that God had oftentimes enlarged him when he needed deliverance from the feeling of being closed in, trapped, and helpless. And that's what we're talking about here when he says he enlarged him. You know, the deliverance is what enlarged him, but he felt trapped. He felt helpless. You ever feel that way sometimes? You don't feel enlarged then, do you? You feel closed in and trapped. But when the Lord comes on the scene, when the Lord delivers, that's when we're liberated. That's when we're enlarged. Okay, so that's what he's talking about. But deliverance from the Lord brings a welcomed relief and liberty from such captivity we were in. And so once again, David knew that his plea must be for mercy, that God would hear his plea, that he would bring that sweet relief to his soul and deliver him in his hour of trouble. Many times we've talked about the confidence David manifested in the Lord. The many times the Lord had delivered him. And that's what we gain in our experience, isn't it? More confidence in the Lord's faithfulness. All right? So, he says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. So that deliverance and that relief that he received from the Lord was that feeling of being enlarged. Verse 2, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. However honorable these men may have been to other men, David knew their trust was not in God, but in vanity, which is trusting in things that cannot profit. There's a lot of that in the world, isn't there? Also, they sought after leasing, which is lies and falsehood. All right? So they were interested in vanity, those things that are empty, those things that have no profit to them, and they were willing to believe lies. You know? So that's what their interest was. They weren't interested in God and His ways. Now, so they were interested, they sought after leasing, which is lies and falsehood, instead of seeking the Lord and His way. Evidently, they had a history of rejecting godly counsel, which David desired. That was David's glory, wasn't it? His trust in the Lord. And these men preferred the unprofitable ways of man. But that was the shame of it. All right? At the thought of this struggle, the king of Israel sighs with great heaviness of heart and pauses to wait for his help and direction from the Lord of mercy. You know, we see people in the world like that. Sometimes they are people we have to interact with. Sometimes we just are observers. And we'd like for them to seek the Lord. We'd like for them to trust the Lord. But whether they do or not shouldn't deter us from trusting in the Lord. What a blessing that He's there for us and He has mercy upon us and He will hear us. Verse 3. So let me read verse 2 again and then get verse 3. He says, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. So regardless of what these others do, all right, as David considers their folly, he receives a very deep assurance within his soul that the Lord will take notice of his desire to do what is right. Shouldn't that be the way that we do? To desire to do what's right, no matter what they're doing. Okay? And he says the Lord's going to take notice of that. He says, the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call. So, David considers their folly, he receives the deep assurance within his soul that the Lord will take notice of his desire to do what's right. And he will provide for them because they are his peculiar treasure. The Lord's going to take care of his children, isn't he? I mean, just think of what he has done for us. Surely he will watch over us and care for us each day. Brethren, we will have trouble in this life. Jesus said we would. Remember John 16:33? The world you shall have tribulation. But you remember the next part of that? Be of good cheer. I have overcome. See, he's the one with the power. He's the one with the love. He's the one with the mercy. He's the one with the grace. Oh, may we continue to look to him. So he said he would help us. But for all the troubles we may have to face, God is greater than our fears. He's greater than our troubles. Do you believe that? and greater than any solution that we or the sons of men could ever conjure up through our own efforts to resolve those problems. I guess that's a roundabout way of saying the Lord knows best. And He'll provide for us in that way which He knows is the best. So the Lord, but know, he says, that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Doesn't that warm your heart? That as God's children, we have a special place. That God is watching over, that he's committed himself to take care of his children. I mean, we try to be the best parents that we can, right? Well, how much more is God a better parent than we are? He knows exactly all that's needed, and he's not limited in any way in providing it. So he will take care of us. He set us apart for himself. And so why wouldn't we call upon him with assurance of heart and great confidence that God will indeed do what's needed in order to provide for his children? Do you ever hesitate to call upon the Lord? Now, I know there's times when we fret and stew and wonder about what we ought to do, and we may go a long period of time before we actually, I'm talking about really and truly, commit it to prayer. But shouldn't that be one of the first things we do? Lord, there's times that I just literally prayed, Lord, I know you have the answer. I don't, but I know you do. And you're able. So that's the first thing we ought to be doing. This is the great privilege we have as God's children. David knew this to the extent that he would confidently call and then expectantly wait for God's answer. Now, there's two words that I purposely put there. He confidently called, and after you've asked the Lord, shouldn't we expect an answer? Now, you know, we're not in the business of telling the Lord what to do. You know, some folks will name your seed. You know, they think they can do what they have to do to get that particular thing. It's always the Lord's will, whatever pleases him. All right? But we should call with confidence. That's faith, isn't it? Another way of saying faith. But then wait expecting. Wait. Now, we don't like to wait, do we? We don't like that part. But we should. All right, verse 4. David continues in verse 4, said, stand in awe and sin not. Maybe that's why there's more sin than there ought to be, because we're not standing in awe of our God. Think that's part of it? We're not fearing God as we should. I'm satisfied. That's a big part of what we're facing in our culture today. And I know that our culture is going to go that way. I'm more concerned about God's people. Are we fearing God like we should? Okay? We're talking about that awesome reverence that influences our behavior. Okay? So stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Think about it. Stand in awe. That's another reason why there's a lack of fear of God in so many today's. We don't stand still long enough to see anything. You know, I drive past some homes nowadays, and I still see rocking chairs on the front porch. But it's a rarity to ever see anybody sitting there. I grew up seeing folks sit out on those rocking chairs a lot. Not that they were lazy, but I mean, they did their job, but there was times they'd sit out there and visit, especially on Sunday afternoon, wasn't it? I suppose most of the wear and tear on rocking chairs was Sunday afternoons, wasn't it? But there's something about taking time, something very valuable. Because time is a precious commodity, isn't it? Take some time just to stand still and think about God. We don't do enough of that, do we? Stand still. So stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Something very comforting in just thinking about doing that. Be still. Here we have an exhortation that is born out of deep consideration. We're getting to the idea of meditation, aren't we? Okay. This is no light thing. Pause and consider the great storehouse of help, wisdom, and provision that we have in the Lord. Now, I know you know that. You know that he has all wisdom. You know that he has the help that we need. You know that he has the provisions. But do we pause and consider just how blessed we are as God's people? Have you thought about that lately? I hope you have. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. And he that loves us, I'm sorry, he and, let me back up here. Pause and consider this great blessing. And that he loves us more than we know. We do not know just how much God loves us. Our mind just cannot fathom that. But the more you expose yourself to his word and the more you meditate upon that, the better idea you'll have. And it'll be good for you. Paul emphasized in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son. Just take a natural example. Take someone that you love dearly. Would you give them up? For sinners? Would you cause that person to die for the benefit of somebody that didn't deserve for them to die for them? You know, that's just a natural example. But what God did was far, far beyond anything in this natural realm. His son, who had no sin about him, his son, who always perfectly did the Father's will. His son was nailed to a cross for us. Had no sin about him. But it was our sins that made it necessary for him to be nailed to that cross. We were the cause of all of his suffering. He was absolutely innocent of any wrongdoing. Yet he was made to be sin for us. And his suffering was real. And it was more than we'll ever fathom this side of glory. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? For Christ's sake, we are privileged beings. While David didn't have the fullness of the gospel like we have today, he certainly had fellowship and communion with God through the Holy Spirit. And although his trials and burdens were just as great as ours, we're taught and shown in this psalm the very best way for us to deal with those trials. By taking time to stand still and be in awe of the privileges we have with our almighty heavenly Father. Isn't that a privilege? And isn't it a privilege that we so often take for granted? He loves us so much. We would do well to think about just how much God loves us. Again, you'll never get to the end of it, but that's okay. You'll stretch your own mind. You'll enlarge your own heart. You'll create more gratitude within yourself for the God who loves us so much that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And he didn't stop there. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow, that's special. We are privileged to be able to call upon our God. We can talk to him, unburden our complaints, and then we can wait confidently for what he will say unto us. Then when our soul is saturated, think about that for just a minute. Then when your soul is saturated with a better appreciation for his greatness to us and of our high privilege in him, the command is to sin not. Now David's exhortation was as much for those ungodly men as it is to us today. You know, those that didn't care for the Lord, that exhortation goes to them too. But it also applies to us. We can't do anything about them, but we can do something about us, can't we? All right? A fresh appreciation for how good God is and how merciful and loving he is to us is the best deterrent that we can have to keep us from sin. This flesh is not getting any better. There are people that teach what they call progressive sanctification. That as you grow in grace, you get better. And that you get to the point where you don't sin anymore. I haven't found that to be the case. I don't find that to be taught in Scripture. Even the Apostle Paul, you would think that if anybody had gotten to that point, the Apostle Paul would have. Wouldn't you think? With all the revelations that God had given to him and the zeal that he put forth in serving the Lord and God's people, and yet Romans 7, he says, "O wretched man that I am." You've read that too. "O wretched man that I am." Now, that doesn't mean that we don't grow in our understanding of how we should live. It doesn't mean that we don't gain experience so that we can walk closer to the Lord and be more committed in serving him. What I'm saying is this old flesh doesn't get any better. This old flesh nature. We still need that daily time with the Lord. And the more we spend some time thinking about His goodness and mercy upon us, the more joy we'll have in our heart, the more thanksgiving. I may be getting ahead of myself. All right. That command was to send now. David's, a fresh appreciation for how good God is and how merciful and loving He is to us is the best deterrent we can have to keep us from sin. That's why the Bible is full of reminders for us to remember the Lord and His Word. So pause and consider these things. It will keep us more in the love of God and looking for His return. Now, verse 5. Offer, after he says, stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So what are the sacrifices of righteousness? Well, there's not a specific list, is there? But some of the things that I listed was yielding to God's will, not ours. That's a biggie, isn't it? We want what we want. I'm afraid that many times that we're going about doing what we want to do. I'm afraid that sometimes we even pray that God will bless our will. If you're not careful, know what I'm saying? So, yielding to God's will, not ours. Be still. Meditate upon this. Think about. All right? Thanksgiving. Well, we've talked about that a lot when we've been studying the Psalms, haven't we? Thanksgiving is so needful. Not only is it needful in the sense of praising God, but it does something to you. For you to render sincere thanksgiving to God, it helps you. That's sacrifices of righteousness. You've got to put that ahead of self. And that's always a good exercise. If we're going to thank God and acknowledge Him. And as we come to a greater realization of His greatness and goodness, praise Him for it. Now, we've already gone through those last psalms in the book of Psalms, and it's, you know, I think one of them I entitled just pure praise. And the more you grow in your understanding of what God is doing for us, has done for us, and will do for us, the natural outflow of that is praise to God for all He's done for us. In fact, it should be an outward expression of that joy, not just the inward thoughts. Now, hang in there with me here. All right. There must be some wholesome benefits to outward praise because of the abundance of exhortation to it in both the Old and New Testament scriptures. You just think about, especially in the Psalms, how we're exhorted to praise God. And they certainly did it with an outward way, in an outward way, didn't they? And they had a musical accompaniment. And it was praise to God. All right? There must be some benefit to that. That outward praise. And we today, we are to be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To me, it's just a healthy sign when we gather together and we're singing praises to God. If we're sitting there not singing, I have to wonder. Now, I realize not everybody has the pleasing voice. Not everybody has the skills to read music. But we have a lot of familiar hymns, don't we? I mean, the Lord provided a way for us to worship Him in a way that's pleasing unto Him. And I just think that it's a reflection of the heart. Now, I know there could be specific circumstances now and then. But as a rule, I think it's an indication of the condition of the heart. If we're not joining in praising God when we have the opportunity. I believe that I'm in consideration of this and all the scripture says, the Lord had a reason for His people to worship Him in that way. All right? So we are to be speaking to yourselves. That's not just thinking, is it? It's speaking. Psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing. Now, you can silently make melody in your heart, but I'm persuaded if there's a lot of joy in the heart, it's going to come out somewhere. You know what I'm saying. It's going to come out. All right? And it's good for you. There's a blessing there. I'm persuaded that this has both emotional and spiritual benefits. Because we know the Lord knew what He was doing when He told us how we're to worship. Verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Or another way of saying it might be to smile upon us, Lord. Smile upon us. While there will always be an abundance of naysayers and scoffers, you believe that? You might know some of those folks. You may run into some of those folks from time to time. Do they affect you? Yep, sad to say they do. But we need to guard ourselves against letting them affect us too much. And not lose our compassion for them. Now that's hard, isn't it? But if we're truly going to love our enemies, you've got to have some compassion somewhere, don't you? Now, I'm not saying condone what they do and help them to do their ungodliness. No, that's not what we're talking about. But have in our mind and in our heart to try to do what's good for them. To show kindness. All right, so there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. While there will always be an abundance of naysayers and scoffers, our prayer should be as David's. Lord, show them. Show them your ability to deliver your people. Show them your mercy. Lord, I'm straying from the notes here, but the thought occurred to me, He's shown us a lot of mercy that we didn't deserve. Why should we think that they don't deserve His mercy? But if you're not careful, you'll get into that Pharisaical attitude. I'm holier than thou. To be careful there, don't we? Show them your loving kindness. Haven't you enjoyed the loving kindness of your God? Show them you're worthy of our trust and of our highest admiration. We know that He's worthy of it and more at all times, but we often desire that He would show it unto them. Verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Sounds like he's talking about in their times of prosperity, in their times of abundance. That's when folks have a tendency to be joyful, don't they? David says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. They know how to be glad and rejoice. But just as David described the things in which they were trusting, so also is their rejoicing. It was in things of no profit, short-lived, and deceitful. See, they knew how to rejoice, but they rejoiced in those natural things. This is why God's people need to openly express their joy, that others may see it and glorify God who's given them their joy and all of their blessings. We need to be doing that, shouldn't we? Thanking God and making it evident. Some folks may not even like to hear it, but God does. What's more important? Praising God, giving him the praise and glory, or being quiet because it might offend somebody. Now, I'm not saying to run roughshod over other people's feelings. I'm not, you know, we want to be Christian about it. But it ought to be a natural outflow from our lives to be thanking God, praising him for his goodness and mercy, giving him the credit for what he's given to us, and leave it as it will. He's the one that's put the gladness in our hearts. We ought to be giving him praise for it. Verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Only the Lord can provide such help and peace. Only the Lord. And all these things we've been talking about, how he's been merciful, how he's been gracious, how he's blessed us in so many ways, how he's given us such joy. I know there's things we have to deal with in life that are not joyful, but if you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart, you can deal with those things in a much better frame of mind and a much stronger will. You can handle it better when you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart. So only the Lord can provide such help and peace. And if we would pause and consider, he's got Selah in here about, what, three times? At least twice. Pause and consider. And if nothing else, just stop and think about the Lord and what he's blessed us with. What we have, the high privileges that we have being a child of God. If we would pause and consider this as David did, then we can enjoy much more restful sleep than we do now. I'm not saying it's going to put you to sleep, am I? I'm saying that when it comes time for us to take our rest, we'll be in much better ease, won't we? We can lie down and rest, thanking God for all he's blessed us with, knowing that he's watching over us, knowing that he'll provide for us, knowing that we have tried to give him praise and thanksgiving for all that he is to us. Not a very long psalm, but a very wonderful psalm to stir our mind and, more importantly, to stir our heart to meditate upon the things of the Lord. May God help us to do just that. Someone have a number to close with?
Five ninety-six.
Though troubles assail us and dangers upride, the friend should all fail us and foes all unite. Yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the promise assures us the Lord will provide. The birds without garner or storehouse are fed. From them let us learn to trust God for our bread. He thinks what is fitting shall ne'er be denied, so long as 'tis written, the Lord will provide. When Satan assails us and stop up our path, and courage all fails us, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us the hope he has tried. This heart-cheering promise the Lord will provide. No strength of our own and no goodness we claim, yet since we have known of the Savior's great name, in this our strong tower for safety we hide. The Lord is our power, the Lord will provide. Amen. Amen. Again, we appreciate everyone being here tonight. Pray the Lord will be with you for the rest of the week. Look forward to meeting back on Sunday. Let's see. We don't have anything else scheduled the rest of the week, do we? Not this week, but next week we'll have our sing. Okay. Anything you'd like to say before we dismiss? Okay.
So it'll be at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. By the time I plan to go on there with him.
Okay.
Anybody wants to come out here and talk to him, we'll be able to do that.
Okay.
Again, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay. So we're talking about some places under the building that has had termite damage in the past. And somebody else that was under there recently said that looked like it needed some extra support to keep from deteriorating. So that's what we're looking at this point.
We don't have it checked once a year.
Well, it's not there's not damage that's continuing. It's just some old places that have already been treated, but we were told it looks like they needed some extra supports in other places. So it's not ongoing damage. So, but we do have it checked every year. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Some of the sisters weren't here Sunday. We did get together and discuss our menus for fourth Sunday after our lunch menus for fourth Sundays. So I'll get with y'all and discuss it and let you know what we're doing. I've got to find my Bible in the Bible case. The same just misplaced it. Coming up fourth Sunday, we're going to be doing a kind of Mexican thing.